بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم. We'll be covering the 16th juz today, inshallah. So we left off talking about the story about Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam. And the next portion of that story is that when they came to a town and that people of the town refused to host them, which was very aberrant for that time. And it was against sort of the status quo and what was accepted. And so when they were leaving, that there was a wall that was falling down, and Khidr alayhi salam, he fixes it. And that seems very strange to Musa alayhi salam, for, you know, a community that didn't treat them well and fulfill their right, that he was doing something like this pro bono. And so then he sort of objected. And that was the third strike. And then Khidr alayhi salam goes through and explains to him the hidden wisdom behind each of those actions. So, for example, when he made a hole in the boat, or he scratched up the boat and made it faulty, the reason was because there was a tyrant king that would have seized it from them. And, you know, these were poor, people who are poor, and so that they would not lose their boat, because the king wouldn't want something that's faulty. So he was actually preserving it for them. And the child that was killed, this child was going to grow up and be rebellious and tyrannical, and could have forced his parents into kufr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to replace this child with another child that was righteous. And as for the wall, there was actually a treasure that was buried underneath that wall, and it was for two orphans whose father was righteous. So he desired that, it was desired that the children grow up and be able to get that wealth that was that they were deserving of. Next, we're told about the story of Dhulqarnain. It was a great king who ruled from the east to the west. So he traveled and he came to a people that existed in the west. And, you know, he had an option. He could have either taken over them and made them captives, or he could treat them well. So he made the decision that whosoever disbelieves, that they will be punished, and whosoever believes, they will be treated kindly. Then he travels to the east, and then he finds the people there where there was no refuge from the sun. And then he travels to a different place, which was between two mountains. And the people there ask him to make a barrier between them and Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And they offer him to take him, offer him some type of wages or some type of money in lieu of him doing that. And he said, are you going to give me money? I mean, he was like the king of kings. And you know, what Allah has given him was better. But he said that he would help them. But he said, you can actually help out, you know, by actually joining in the work, in the construction. And in the last of times, Ya'juj and Ma'juj will actually break through the wall, and they'll come out in waves. And as the surah ends off, we're told about the worst losers, the one who thinks that he has good deeds waiting for him in the akhirah, but he'll find nothing there for himself in the hereafter. And we're told that if the seas were even be made into ink, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be exhausted. The seas would become exhausted, but the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not, even if you brought, you know, the double of it. And this the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equate to his signs and his wisdom, and that whosoever desires to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he should do good and he should not commit shirk. Now we're going to start Surah Maryam. This surah starts with the story of Zakariya alayhi salam, who in his old age asks for a son, and then he's given the glad tidings that he will have a son. He asks for a sign. And the sign is that he was unable to talk, but he was inspired to make zikr. And so he was given a son by the name of Yahya alayhi salam. No one had this name before, who was an extremely muttaqi, wise, soft, well-mannered, and obedient, and dutiful to his parents, sort of the ideal child. And this whole family, the family of Ali Imran, extremely pious. And then after that, and we saw that earlier when we were covering the early ajza of the Quran. Next comes the story of Maryam alayhi salam, And so she took to the eastern part of her masjid, and she was in seclusion there when an angel came to her and told her about her giving birth to Isa alayhi salam. And she was sort of amazed that that was going to happen because no man had touched her. But this was the will of Allah. So she becomes pregnant, and then she goes to a remote place to deliver, which was a very painful experience. And then now she brings the baby to her people, and she's already doing a fast of speaking, so she can't say anything. And so they taunt and criticize her, saying that you're not that type of woman who would have na'udhubillah slept around and have a child out of wedlock. And you have to understand that this is a woman who had spent her time completely in ibadah, and she was in the kifala of Zakariya alayhi salam. So she can't speak, but she points to Isa alayhi salam, and this is one of the situations when a child speaks and a babe speaks in the cradle. And so he says, "Qala inni Abdullah atani al-kitaba wa ja'alani nabiyya." So he said, "I am the slave of Allah," and this was a miracle. And then we're told that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to create something, yes, this is amazing, but all he has to do is say, and it is. And people will know the truth in the hereafter. Then we're asked to remember the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was making dawah to his father. And it's really hard. You can actually make dawah to people on the outside, but it's very hard to make dawah to your own family. So he's asking his father in a very beautiful way, in a loving way, that why he worships something that can't even benefit him. And he calls him to the right way. And so his father replies to him that, "Are you going to leave the ways of your father, your father's? And if you don't stop, I'm going to stone you." And he says, "Just leave me alone." So very hurtful. But that didn't stop Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said that, "No, I'm going to pray for you, make istighfar for you." And he separated from them. And so even though he sort of, quote unquote, lost his family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, in lieu of that, his children were prophets. Then we're asked to remember Musa alayhi salam, who was sincere and who was called onto from the mountain, and he was spoken to. We're told to remember Ismail alayhi salam, who used to keep his promise and tell his family to do he used to order them with salah. And then we're told to remember Idris, and these were all people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored and chosen. However, these righteous people, they were followed by people who instead followed their desire, and then they abandoned salah. These people don't have a good outcome, except for those people who believe and do good deeds. For those people, they will have paradise. And the angel, there was a pause in which Jibreel alayhi salam wasn't coming, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with the wahi to clarify that the angels don't descend except by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people are amazed at the fact that they'll be resurrected, but then we're asked that, how did you come into existence in the first place? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us back, and he will see who the greatest rebel is, and everyone will have to pass over hell. And the bridge over Jahannam is like a sharp edge of a sword. And different people are going to pass over it in different speeds. So some people will be like a flash of lightning. Some people will pass like the wind. Some people will pass like a fastest horse, so on and so forth. So then there are these people, when they hear the verses, these are disbelievers, they're like, "Look, you're telling us, we're better than you. We're more sophisticated than you. We're more advanced in technology." I mean, that's not exactly what they're saying, but they're like, "We're better." And then they're told that how many people were there in the past that were better than you that were destroyed. So, I mean, you should take a lesson from that. And then people ascribe to themselves all types of things in your hereafter. But how do they know? Do they have some promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or do they know the ghaib? And on that day, the idols will deny the worship of the mushrikeen. So it's like the ultimate slap in the face, that the very thing that you devoted yourself to will deny you. And these are people who follow the shayateen, and the shayateen prod them on, but their days are numbered. And then there's a description of the last day when people will be driven into the fire. And it talks about how big of a deal it is for people just utter that abomination and the monstrosity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son, and that it's not fitting for him to have a son when everything is his slave. And then finally we're reminded how many people were destroyed before us that now you don't even hear a whisper about them. Now we begin Surah Taha, and this surah begins, as we've seen with many of the surah, that they talk about revelation in the Quran. So we have not set the Quran to you to give you a hard time. And then we're told about the story of Musa alayhi salam. And when he saw a fire, he told his family to stay. And when he entered there, he was told to take off his shoes. And then he actually spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he gave him the miracle of the staff, and the miracle of that turns into a snake, and also the miracle of the hand that glows. And then he, when he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I mean, he makes the dua, قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي, that to open his chest, and he asks for Harun alayhi salam to help him in his mission and to be in his aid. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, this is another blessing, just like the blessings that he gave him before, like when his mother was inspired to put him in the river. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everyone around him love him. And that when he had killed the Egyptian, how he was saved, and how he had lived in Madian, and now he has come to get prophethood. And he's told to give da'wah to the Pharaoh of the time. And so he fulfills that. He goes to him and he asks the Pharaoh to send Bani Israel with him, and not to punish them. And then he asks, who's your Lord? And he says, he's the one who gave everything its form and he guided it. Then he said, what about the people before? And he said, Allah knows best. You know, and Allah made everything. And we're from the earth. We're going to return to it and you'll be raised from it. So he, the same argument as we heard before, he said, you're just trying to overthrow me. And he says, we'll bring magic too. So they appoint the day of Eid, and Musa alayhi salam is victorious over the magicians, who then brought Iman, and they remain firm on that Iman, despite the threats of the Pharaoh. Then he's told to escape with the Bani Israel, and the Pharaoh follows him, and you know, we know that they're drowned in the middle of the sea, and the sea was parted for them, for the Bani Israel, and they're reminded of the various other blessings that they had. And then Musa alayhi salam, you know, he hastened to his Lord on the mountain where he got the Torah on tablets. But while he was away, you know, his people were tested and they fell into worshiping a calf because of Samiri. And what Samiri had, and Harun alayhi salam tried to stop them, but they said, no, we're not going to stop until Musa alayhi salam comes back. And what Samiri did is that he took some dust from the hoof print of Jibreel alayhi salam's horse and he threw it on the jewelry that the Bani Israel had. And it became fashioned into a cow that made a sound because of the wind that used to move through it. So it used to make like a low bellow. And so when Musa alayhi salam came back, he was mad, he was sad. And then this Samiri was actually excommunicated and he was made untouchable. And, you know, we just asked to compare this calf that's made out of, you know, some ornaments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then reminded that the trumpet will be blown and the criminals are going to be brought forth. And it's going to seem like life is just like a day, a very short time. You know, this thing that we devote so much to, it's just going to be like a blink of an eye. And the mountains will be shattered and everyone will be so humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one's going to even dare to talk. And then you just hear footsteps because the voices are quieted out of the sheer awe before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can intercede except who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows. And there will be faces that will be humbled before him. And this Quran is actually being sent as a warning for all of this. I mean, how would we have known that any of these things would happen in such explicit detail if it wasn't for the Quran? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told not to hasten with the Quran, just to listen. And to make the dua, Rabbi zidni ilma, increase me in knowledge. Then we're told about the story of Adam alayhi salam, who was told that shaitan is your enemy, but then shaitan deceived him, telling him that he was actually sincere towards him when he was not. They ended up eating from the tree, and then their private parts became exposed or became known to them, and then they tried to cover themselves. And then they were told to go down into the earth, but whoever follows the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those people won't be misguided. And then we're told how the people will be forgotten in the hereafter, in the same way that they forgot the ayahs over here. The people who are here who are blind are going to be blind over there. And reminded how many people were destroyed who walk basically the same streets that we live in. And we're told to be patient, and the Prophet was said to be patient on their rejection. That we should be, and to basically stick to prayer. And to the Tahajjud Salah, and don't look at what's been given to other people in terms of enjoyment. You see people all around you living it up, and sometimes Muslims feel bad, and it's normal to feel that way because it looks like they have everything, but this is their Jannah, and our Jannah is going to be in the hereafter. And we're told to enjoin prayer on our family. If these people who are criminals, if they were destroyed, so they would actually complain that why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us a messenger to follow him? You know, it's like you do it this way or you do it that way. And there's always some type of excuse, and this is part of their deviation. So everyone is waiting. Just wait. People are waiting. So just wait. And then, in the akhirah will become very clear. And people, you will know who is right and who is guided. اللهم اجعلنا منهم واخذ دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين